Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers announcing that the eagle has landed. For those of you who listen to this show, you know I've been away for a while. And I have my trusty engineer friend here who takes care of all of these problems. And in case you don't know, yeah.
We had Carolyn on, but we couldn't hear her. It was a bit challenging for a moment. Wonders of technology.
So unlike me, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway, my friends, I'm glad to be back. And before we came here tonight, we had to decide on, well, gee, who would we have as the person to interview? And I thought about all of the contacts, and since we had been thinking about the Ark of the Covenant and the power that it had, how it originated, and its place here on Earth, the first one that came to mind, of course, was King Solomon. And so we asked King Solomon if he would be willing to come, and he said he was. And I think King Solomon has an awful lot of information that we really want to look into. So, Richard, is King Solomon the wise one there with you?
I believe he's lurking around, yes.
Wouldn't that be something if one time somebody said, no, they're not here?
Yeah, I don't look. I'm not sure I look forward to that occasion, actually.
I don't either.
Leave us in the lurch, hmm?
No.
There's plenty of humor in the spiritual world. They might just pull that on us. They pulled most things on us. That might be just in somebody's mind, but I doubt it.
So as we start, I would like for you to connect with him, Richard, and give our listeners an idea of his energy, because I want them to concentrate on it also, and maybe they'll pick up on it. I want them to be connected to King Solomon also.
Yes, there's a very powerful masculine energy, and yet there's, despite its power, there is also a sensitivity is probably the best word, a sensitivity to it. Great power and yet sensitivity, and very, very solid energy. It's quite an interesting energy with that combination of things. It has, the power reminds me of when we brought King Arthur on the show, and yet his energy was much more directly masculine. This has a masculine aspect too, and yet it's not so clearly that. Great power, but yet a slightly different balance. And as I said, a greater sense of sensitivity to the energy. Very interesting. Very interesting.
And so does King Arthur have a message that he wishes to give out first before we begin questioning?
King Solomon, you mean?
What did I say?
You said King Arthur. But I'm
oh,
sure you
got me
King
off
Arthur.
On the King Arthur track. Well, you know I like King Arthur too.
I do. I do.
I love all these men.
And so let us see. Let us see if he has a message for us to begin. And he's here. He says he does have a message to begin with, and so let us see what he has to say. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with those of you who are listening or who may listen to this recording later in that time frame where you approach 2012. As with so many other great figures of history, I understood my role and where it fitted, and I understood the connection of my role to the time you now live in, because as with many others that you have brought forth, such as Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, such as indeed Isis, such as King Arthur, such as Saint Germain even. All of these understood that the event that awaits you at the end of 2012 and beyond was indeed in the plan. And I understood this also. I was able to communicate to beings on the other side. It has been an aspect of my monad, indeed of all of those expressions of my monad that have come forth throughout history. It is an ability that has always been there in perhaps every aspect that came forth. And so I understood my mission and my role. I understood it was a bridging role between what existed in Atlantis, that extraordinary civilization which existed as an expression of the height of the possibility of the human form at that time. And it existed up until about 13,000 years ago when the fall occurred. My role, for the most part, represented a link between that time and this time. Many remember me as the one who was responsible for building that temple, which for some bore my name. For others was known as the First Temple. But indeed, whose design actually went back to my father's time. However, few understand that the building of that temple was on a site that had a temple constructed in the time of Atlantis. Because that temple held great secrets, great knowledge. The knowledge of Atlantis was placed in several locations around the world before the fall in Atlantis, because it was well understood that there were those you know as the dark, who we understood, or at least those in Atlantis understood, would work very hard to destroy any evidence of the existence of that civilization called Atlantis. And so part of what was put in place was a plan to bring forth key elements of knowledge and key tools from the time of Atlantis through to this time, so that the evidence of what existed would be unmistakable. So even though great effort had been put in, you could say, to destroy the artifact record, to destroy any evidence as such as it could be of the existence of Atlantis, and great effort has also been made to ensure that there has been limited publicity of the discoveries of what represents parts of Atlantis in your times. We understood that this burial of the truth would be undertaken. And so the knowledge of the truth of Atlantis was placed in several places in the world. And one of those places was a temple in the location of where my temple was built. And so a key reason for the construction of that temple and how it was constructed was to indeed protect the secrets that were placed upon that site. And your history records that the Knights Templar came forth and came to Jerusalem and spent several years tunneling in the area of that temple location. And your records do not record that indeed what they were searching for was not the content of my temple, but indeed the Atlantean temple that preceded it, because that was protected. And what they were searching for was the evidence that had been planted. It was one of the locations where that evidence of Atlantis was planted, and so the Knights Templar collected that information, and indeed they collected the Ark of the Covenant, though it was not in the location of what had been my temple at that time. And so they collected these materials and took them back to Europe, again so they could be made available in this time. And so I understood my role as a bridge between what existed in Atlantis and what is coming forth in your time. My temple, as much as any other purpose, protected those secrets from Atlantis and indeed the Ark of the Covenant. As records in your time express, I had a connection to that. But it acted as a bridge, which was then connected to by the Knights Templar. And those secrets were brought into Europe and will come forth between now and the end of 2012. And so there are many things that I could have spoken to you about, but I wanted to share this piece of information with you, knowledge that you would not otherwise have, that is not recorded anywhere. And so I wished to share this piece with you.
Thank you. Did you have personal use of the Ark of the Covenant?
It was not a tool that I used. I understood its powers. However, I did not apply its powers in my time. Some believe otherwise, but I did not apply its powers for my purposes.
Are you able to give us any indications of what some of the secrets were that was recorded in that earlier temple of Atlantean artifacts?
There was a historical summary, you could say, of what unfolded in Atlantis and why Atlantis fell, why there was a fall in consciousness. These are the key elements of that information, and there is sufficient material describing technologies and abilities which existed at that time, information which does not simply correlate with knowledge and information which exists upon Earth today, such that it will be the kind of information that will, when treated as a body of information, validate the existence of Atlantis. Further, I expect that the information which was placed in two other locations upon the planet, at least one of which will come forth between now and the end of 2012, and so the linking of these two will further validate this information.
Are you perhaps speaking of Peru?
Peru is one such location. The other is in Egypt.
Mm. And so do you feel that the information will come forth from Egypt or Peru or both perhaps?
As I look at the records, it is more likely that the information which is held in Egypt will come forth. Mm-hmm. As events unfold, as the preparation for the end of 2012 progresses, the pressures will grow upon those in Egypt that have sought to keep this information secret, the location of these records secret. The pressure will grow for that to be released. And so I anticipate that Egypt is the most likely location from which this material will be validated.
Were you aware of this information from the earlier temple of Atlantis when you started to begin building your own temple?
as I said, part of the purpose of my temple was to protect that information. I was aware of this information because, as I mentioned, I communicated with beings on the other side of the veil. I communicated with my monad and other aspects of my soul that had come forth to incarnate upon Earth. And so I was very aware of this information.
Thank you. I figured that you must have had some knowledge of it. Is there anything else that you are able at this point to tell us about the Ark of the Covenant or some of the other secrets from Atlantis? Is there anything else?
I will simply mention that the Ark of the Covenant is a real tool, a real technology, a very powerful technology that had great power in the time of Atlantis, and most of that power was shut down before the fall in Atlantis to protect it. However, it did retain some powers, and some individuals have used those powers throughout history. However, once again, its greatest power will be expressed when it is activated in this time.
Now, if that's what I would like to do, is turn our information towards the Queen of Sheba. Can you give us some insight as to your knowledge of her, how you met her?
We were drawn together over the eons of time, you could say. We were souls that had traveled together over many lifetimes. Most times we had come when the aspect of her soul was the male expression and that of mine was the female, but that did not occur on this occasion. And so we became aware of each other through that connection, through that awareness. The connection between our souls simply opened up to us. And so it was more that awareness of that soul connection that was the source of us connecting in that lifetime.
Historically, I don't think the two of you remained together very long. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We did not spend a great deal of time together. We came together on more than one occasion. We each had our own responsibilities in that lifetime. And some of what was planned for that lifetime did not unfold. However, we did connect, as I say, on more than one occasion.
Reading some of the information about the two of you, I'd like to know if it is accurate that did the two of you bring forth a child?
It is true that we brought forth a child together.
And did you give that child a copy of the Ark of the Covenant?
That child was not given a copy of the Ark of the Covenant. There was a time when the Ark was transferred to that area of the world. However, there are reports that a copy was made, and it is not possible to create a duplicate of that technology.
So he apparently had the original Ark of the Covenant to protect it?
It was sent to that area of the world for a period of time, indeed to protect it.
And I'm trying to trace what happened to it next.
It was from that area of the world that the Templars finally collected it and took it to Europe.
Did they take it to France?
They took it to France initially and subsequently elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like perhaps you would like to withhold where they took it eventually. Is that accurate?
This is not the time to bring that information forth. Mm-hmm. Those that need to know where it is located already know where it is located, and so it will come forth and be activated when it is needed.
Thank you. I'm at a point now where I'm having some difficulty in exploring the information that you hold. We seem to have covered what we are able to ascertain about the Ark of the Covenant and what the Templars were able to retrieve. Can you give us some sense of what the world was like when you ruled in that position?
The world was a very different place. There were many forces at work from a, you might call, political perspective. It was a time of great challenge. There were always groups seeking to overthrow those that held power. And so it was a time of great challenge. Also, it was a time where, just as in your time and perhaps in all times, there were those who held great wealth and many who had little. Perhaps it was a time when there were more people with limited availability of financial resources than exist in your time. It was a time of great challenge on many levels. The great challenge for a ruler of that time was to seek to take care of all of the people that you represented. It is not something which was sustained by royalty as it emerged over time, and it has deservedly lost its place within modern structures, modern political structures, if you will, because the focus became very self-interested, and indeed, as with so many institutions upon planet Earth, the royal families became dominated by forces of the dark. That was not the case in my time. The majority of the great rulers from my time for quite a period thereafter ruled benevolently. They were leaders of the light, and they came forth with a desire to protect the people and to take care of the people and provide for the people as best as they were able. And this is something which disappeared over time. And so it was a time of, as I say, great wealth and also a great challenge for many people. I sought to protect what was my responsibility. It was not my desire to seek to conquer others, but simply take care of and provide for, protect those, if you will, for whom I was responsible to the best of my ability. And so that was my focus.
Thank you. We have a caller. Sally from Texas is on line one, and she has a question for King Solomon. Sally? Can you hear me, Sally?
Take care of and
We're trying to connect with Sally. We're trying to connect with Sally if she's still on line one. And if not, we'll move on.
I think Sally has moved on already.
I think you're right. Apparently, Sally.
Hello?
Yes.
Welcome back, Karen. Welcome back. We have missed you.
Oh, thank you, Sally.
We're glad that you're well. This is lovely to hear. Two quick part question. I'm curious as to the association, King Solomon, as to the Freemasonry and the history of that we hear so often. Is this something that you have sanctioned, or is it something that shouldn't be associated with you? And secondly, was I ever in part involved in anything in that era?
Now, you let's take the first part of the question. Is King Solomon connected in any way with Freemasonry? Is that an accurate concept of what you're trying to ask?
Yes, from his voice, because in Freemasonry history, yes, he is definitely associated with it in what we have all read. I'm curious as to what he says about
what he has to say. Okay. We have a question from Sally for King Solomon. If he is connected in any way with Freemasonry.
The traditions of Freemasonry, in truth, have their links to what remained of a subset of the knowledge and understandings of the Knights Templar. The Knights Templar, as you may or may not understand, were great masters of sacred geometry and many, many other great esoteric wisdom. And indeed, the key aspects of their wisdom and secrets will be brought forth in the coming months by the two who are running this conference, this call. So the connection between the Masons and myself, if you will, was really through the connection that existed through the Knights Templar. They brought forth a great deal of knowledge which was held within not only my temple, if you will, but the Atlantean temple. Quite a deal of the knowledge of the Knights Templar came forth from that source. And so even though there is a great deal of misunderstanding within Freemasonry about the true nature of that connection, indeed it suits their purposes to claim this link back to my time. And in a sense, it exists. However, the true link really is through the Knights Templar, who are the ones who truly held that knowledge and wisdom. The knowledge and wisdom and understanding that the Freemasons hold is but a shadow of the knowledge that the Knights Templar held.
Ah, very interesting. It's always been a question that comes up frequently because the name King Solomon's Temple always seems to be associated with the Freemasonry or Masonic groups. Thank you for that answer, and we always want to know, were we a part of that in the Atlantean era or in the association with you as well?
You were present in Atlantis. You were not present in my time.
And as you look into the records, can you give some other information to Sally as to perhaps the role she played in Atlantis?
Sally was a healer. Sally indeed is part of that group that seems to feature on these calls so often. She indeed is one of those cherubim that have come forth in this time, and she worked as a healer in Atlantis, working with Isis in the Temple Beautiful.
Thank you.
How lovely. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Sally,
it.
Sally, if you haven't sent Richard your information, maybe
he
you
has
should.
It.
He has it. Okay, well.
He has it.
Good to connect.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Hetty from Arizona is online too. Hetty.
Hi, Carolyn. It's so good to hear your voice again. Hi, Richard.
I have
a question for Solomon. Anna, grandmother of Yeshua, walked the earth about that same time. Did their paths cross, and did they work together, and what kind of work did they do to prepare for ascension?
That's an interesting question, Hetty. So, Richard, what are you getting from that?
Anna's time began a little after mine, and her early times were not really connected in any manner with me. She was very much living a normal life for the early part of her existence, normal in most senses. She really came into her power and strength after her time in Egypt. So when she was perhaps 400 years old by that time. And as you may understand, Anna had one child at 16 and then no children for some 400 years and then some 14 children to two husbands. So Anna's story is quite an intriguing story. But our paths did not cross at that time. Though I will say that soul that you know as Anna has had a very close relationship to my monad and to aspects of my monad that have come forth over many, many lifetimes.
Mm. Well, Hetty, thank you for the question. Didn't quite get the answer that you thought, but there's always something that comes forth that's of interest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hetty. Ronald from Georgia is on line 3. Ronald?
Hello, Carolyn. I hope you're feeling much better now. I've been praying for you. You sound great.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'm sure your prayers helped.
I have profound
admiration. And you have a question.
Yes. Reputedly, King Solomon was a great magician working on behalf of the divine plan in his time. And I was wondering whether Enochian magic is heir to his magic, and if so, is it good to practice Enochian vision magic for the greater good of God?
I heard that part about him practicing magic, but I kind of missed the part about someone inheriting his magic. Is that what the question
yes,
was?
There's been a huge revival and interest in so-called Enochian magic, which is reputedly heir to King Solomon's magic. I was wondering if that's true.
Now, I understand the question now. Would you be kind enough just to repeat the name that magic has today? Because I missed that.
About in 1587, Dr. D. and Kelly reputedly received information from Archangel Michael, and it was supposed to be the magic that King Solomon used in his time. And there's a great revival of interest in that. I've been experimenting with that. I was wondering if it's okay for me to work with that.
And it's a good question, Ronald. Dr. D. worked with some form of magic that supposedly is King Solomon's, but can you give me the name of that magic again? What was it called?
Yes, it's called Enochian Vision Magic. It was supposedly
Enochian Vision Magic.
Yes.
And so was this connected, this Enochian Vision, is this connected to Enoch?
it was supposed to be yes. But I was wondering if there's any truth in that or not.
Let's see what he has to say. There are many rumors and many stories about what has occurred over time. And there are many individuals that have come forth claiming that they have brought forth messages from many great beings. And there are points in time when these are accurate and there are points in time when these are not. It is not truly accurate to say that I practiced what you might call magic. I was a master of sacred geometry, and if you understand how sacred geometry works and the breadth of its capability, you could look at it as being a form of magic. And indeed, it was that same knowledge and understanding that was very widely applied by the Knights Templar in much of their work on many, many levels. Sacred geometry was also used by, for example, Mary Magdalene and Yeshua in their work, and indeed they used sacred geometry in their time to structure the coming forth of the knowledge and understanding of their work, the discovery of Mary Magdalene's tomb, which has already happened. All of that was set up using sacred geometry by them in their time. And you could look at all of that as being a form of magic. I would not call it magic in that sense. And Enoch, who some will understand, was the one and only incarnation of Archangel Metatron, or Lord Metatron, as you may know him. He also understood sacred geometry, and so he also applied sacred geometry in some of his activities whilst he was on Earth. And so the understandings that these two are connected, in a sense, is valid. However, they are not a direct connection. It is rather that they carry a common origin. However, the secrets, so-called, that were brought forth by those individuals ostensibly channeling from Archangel Michael were not strictly accurate. And so you are welcome to experiment with what you have, but I would suggest to you that perhaps it will not yield very much.
Well, that should answer your question, Ronald.
Well, thank you very much, Carolyn, and I've enjoyed posting images and poems to your website. It's a lovely place, and I've gotten
a lot
out of Richard's The Coming of the Golden Age. It's been a real wonderful miracle in my life. Thank you very much. Love you both very much.
Thank you,
Ronald. You're greatly loved by many, many, many.
We appreciate your kind words. Thank you, Ronald.
Thank you very
much. You're welcome. Anton from Minnesota is on line one.
Yeah, hi, Caroline and Richard. Nice to hear you again.
Hi, Anton.
I have a question to King Solomon. Do the pyramids in Egypt have a connection with the Ark of the Covenant?
And now, the pyramids in general or a specific pyramid?
The pyramids in general, because there is a book out with the title Opening the Ark of the Covenant, written by Frank Joseph. And I'm wondering if he's close to the truth.
And what's the man's name?
Frank Joseph. Yes.
The opening of the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
So, Richard, we want to ask King Solomon if this particular book about the opening of the Ark of the Covenant is close to the truth or not.
Responding specifically to Anton's question, which is there a link between the pyramids and the Ark of the Covenant? There is no formal connection between the pyramids and the Ark of the Covenant. The technology which was used to build the pyramids has nothing to do with the technology that is contained in the Ark of the Covenant, nor was the Ark of the Covenant used in the construction of the pyramids. And so you could say, in a sense, there is a connection because the great beings responsible for the creation of the pyramids certainly understood the nature of the Ark of the Covenant and its purpose, both in that time and this one. However, that is as close as the link gets.
Okay, if I may, I have another question.
We have a little time, but ask it quickly.
Just quick, what is my purpose in the present lifetime? Could I get an answer for that?
Well, let's see what we can do. What is Anton's purpose in his lifetime, King Solomon?
Your key purpose is to clear your negative karmic past and participate in ascension. That is your key purpose. You are not one that has come forth with a role to assist humanity to prepare, and that is not in any way a criticism. But you are certainly present upon this planet to connect with this work, to pass through those two steps of experiencing these two commands so you can participate in the ascension process.
Okay, thank you very much for that answer.
You're welcome, Anton. We have, it looks like Monash from Michigan is on line two.
Yes, that's Moshe.
Moshe. Moshe.
Moshe. Thank you for correcting me. And your question.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard. Thank you for allowing me to connect with Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon.
Mm.
So my question is
before you begin with your question, did you feel his energy when Richard was describing it, since you wished to connect with him?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And what was your experience with that connection? Did it seem familiar?
Yes, it did. Very.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering. I figured you have great reverence for him, and I felt that you might have experienced some of that energy. So, and your question?
Well, I feel a very close connection with King Solomon, and I have even been shown through my astrological birth chart that I could be embodying some form of the archetype of King Solomon. So I was wondering if Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, has manifested through other lifetimes, and if perhaps he is doing so through this lifetime through me. And the second question is,
no, let's stop with that one, because excuse me, dear, let's get the answer for that. It gets too confusing when we have several questions at one time. So
you're right. I apologize. Thank you.
No apology needed. Would King Solomon answer that question first?
Firstly, it is perhaps an opportunity to explain a little of who I am or was, if you will. I am an aspect of that high cherubim angel known as Allura. That is who I came forth as. Most times it has been feminine aspects that have come forth, but in my time it was not. And so that is who I am. And you have chosen to bring forth in your lifetime a template that is a template associated with my soul. That is, my soul as King Solomon. And many souls do this for the purpose of learning in the current lifetime. It is especially common in this time as humanity approaches ascension, and it is why so many individuals consider they are, for example, Mother Mary or Mary Magdalene or Moses or so many other beings. And it is because of the widespread use of templates in this time, so that souls can learn so much more in this current lifetime, this last opportunity, if you will, of learning before ascension, before moving on from this very complex and difficult consciousness. And so you are not an aspect of my soul. However, you do carry a template which has you feel like you are an aspect of my soul.
And you have a second part of your question, please?
Yes, I do, and it is about Naama, who is the son of the princess, the daughter of the Ammonite king that helped Solomon ascend back to his throne, and is the only one of his 700 wives who was mentioned in the Torah, in the Bible. And I was wondering if you see a connection with myself now and with my life partner, Sevea, relating
King Solomon,
to Naama.
Can King Solomon answer that?
I'm hearing there is no connection between these two.
Okay. Well,
okay.
You are carrying the template, and hopefully we've helped you with some of this information that you wanted, and thank you for calling. We're very close
to...
You're welcome. We're very close to the time when we have to get off the air, and I want to thank everyone for being there, and thank you, Richard, for taking the information, and thanking King Solomon also. And I hope all of the listeners have gained from this. Richard, you wanted to say something.
I did, Carolyn. I just wanted to, at the end of this show, welcome you back into your seat, my precious one. You have had such a difficult journey over the last few weeks, and it is, well, I am aware that it's far from over, but it is just wonderful to see you back bringing forth this beautiful service to so many who take such joy from hearing your words and your laughter in particular.
Thank you, Richard, and we couldn't do it without your assistance. And so until the next time, this is Carolyn Evers and Dr. Presser.
Bye, everyone. Till next time.
Goodbye.